We just want to make sure we're positioning ourselves well, and I think we are, but we got to keep working on it, right? So please apply for the grant. I like that we have a five-year plan. It's nice that if someone asks you, you can show where we're spending the money, because if we get into it with this attorney showing how we're spending the money that we're collecting is what we have to do, right, as a council. And so, one, it shows we're looking ahead. The five-year plan from all the department heads is really good. We can debate over which is the priority, but, you know, this is Sonny's priority, and I think he's doing a good job for us, right? And so I think, you know, if we got things to add, we should add it on the list, and then, you know, like Sonny said, I think he does this really well. If we tell him to do something different, he'll do it, but we got to understand what we're saying, because you got to change something out. And at least from my perspective as the commissioner of the Works for Public Works, he's doing a pretty good job of balancing all the areas, right? If you look on the projects, they're spread throughout the town. And so if someone's complaining to you, you've got this book, you can show them where we've been working, and then you can talk to them about how we set the priorities, which is important, right? And then you can refer them to Sonny or me, and I'll try to explain to them as best I can. We don't have infinite money, and we're never going to. We got to pick the highest priority things, right? And that priority setup is what our department is for. And, you know, I think he's done a good job managing our money and managing the systems.
Well, let me just say something. You know, we want to. I'm looking at phase 2B right here, just for example, $15,000 to $18,000. Okay, we're looking at that's material costs. Okay, right. So you're talking about, well, let's get an engineer for them. You know, for a set of drawings that we're going to have to apply for some of these grants, and the grant writer or whoever's going to apply for these grants. Is going to eat into that $15,000 to $18,000. I don't know what engineers are pretty expensive.
Well, okay? That's yes, what we need.
So I haven't engineered these projects because it's a tear out and put in.
Okay,
just what I'm trying to do is make sure that we save and try to do the most we can do with the money that we have. There is a reason why our stormwater money is where it's at right now, $600,000. There is a reason why our PAL fund money is where it's at right now. It's building. It is $200,000 in the PAL fund for a build for a department this size is unbelievable. We have how much now? $600,000 in the. How much did we have 2 to 3 years ago? Of course, we increased the stormwater,
but less than 400.
So the reason that we have the money in there is that we're not going out engineering all these projects. And it's costing us all this money to do.
Okay.
Our guys are going out there and doing the projects. Now, if town council wants us to do something differently, I'll be glad to do it that way. But I want you to understand that there's a cost associated with engineering and writing grants.
Yes, I knew that. Okay. And Sonny, just consider me your devil's advocate, as with Dennis or John or any of the rest of them. When I look at $375,000 in four projects.
Well, that's not what we're talking stormwater right now. Now, with the water lines, you know, there may be some grant money out there for $300,000. For the $500,000 lift station, 2 to 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now on the lift station, there may be money in there in the clean water. Clean water does that. So. You know, I'm not saying that.
Well, that's
just
what I'm asking.
Small projects that we're talking about.
No, I'm not talking about your small projects. I'm just talking about when you get to these big ones. Will we work together to try to get some of that money? Because this looks like an awful lot for us to try to cover, even with.
Oh, that's not
stormwater.
I mean, that right there in the next 10 or 15 years, I mean, that's bird speed. I mean, there's some things that could happen that would cost us a lot more money than that.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, even we keep talking about the PAL, but we have to be, you know, it's very specific how we can use that money.
Yes.
It has to be street drainage, you know, so we have to, there's certain things that that's not going to cover.
So you're not even talking about water lines and lift station on that one?
No.
So we just... Okay, and also being the liaison with the stormwater committee, and I guess John is still around here, These are the questions I get constantly from that committee, and they just want to know, you know, are we going to apply for grants in order to maybe get some of these projects in without waiting 10 or 12 years, or? And how can they help, if at all? I mean, I know we can't write a grant that an engineer would have to put together.
Those grants are really complicated.
Yes.
And
right.
Yep.
So, no, not on the small ones that the staff is doing, but on the big ones where, you know, maybe we could get some money somewhere else.
Would it help if we did more education about what we are looking at doing? And to Sonny's credit, it's very hard to stick with what you've got and look and get the constant small projects.
What would help is to understand what we're talking about, and instead of jumping somewhere else, where I thought we were talking about stormwater and the projects that we had in here, and you jumped on the big projects over here. Now, let me just explain to you. When I started talking about engineering and stuff like that, what I was talking about, the $500,000, there are engineers that will do grant work, and if they don't get the grant, then they don't charge it. So there is possibilities there for that.
Okay.
So don't let me get you wrong on that. But what I thought we were talking about.
Well, I was looking at
was
the whole
stormwater
gamut.
Okay.
But even with stormwater, we're still looking at about $700,000. And if those are all little projects added up together, that's great that we can do one at a time. If there's one, like when you go down
the backside of whatever.
Yeah, the backside of there.
And, you know, it's according to what town council wants. If they're, you know, if we're not having any cave-ins and we're still draining fine and things are working and the sun comes up, then there might be a possibility of us doing it in sections just like we did phase two,
okay.
You know, B, C, D, and E.
Right.
We can do it basin to basin. It may take us, you know, 6 or 7 years to do, but it won't cost us $750,000. You know, so.
Yeah, well, so, but hey, let's all be clear, right? So what the public wants is everything free, perfect, and now. That's what they want. And that's what they tell us they want, right?
Yes.
What we have to do is translate that to clear direction to the department heads on what we can afford and the timing we can deal with, right? And I think, to your credit, just like I said earlier, the systems are better maintained and at a higher service level than anywhere else in the county. And
well,
the two relating to counties, right? So I actually go online and look at who has sewer spills, because I'm kind of interested in that.
Well, we just don't turn ours at jobs.
Yeah. But that's not what it is, right?
You know, that's a little misleading, too, in a way, because, you know, Carolina Beach has got some problems with some flooding areas during the things, and that causes some problems, and nothing, basically, they can do about it. Canal comes in, it's just a problem. So there's different things that happens like that, but I appreciate you saying that, and we strive to do that.
Well, but some of their sewer spills aren't in that part of the area, right? So I discount Canal because I understand I grew up here, right? But some of their sewer spills on 6th and 7th Street and the county system sewer spills are on the highlands, right? They're not in the lowlands. Wilmington's the same way, right? And Riceville Beach, I don't know the area as well, but their sewer spills, if you go back and look at them, they're in not maintaining the systems, in my opinion as an engineer. And so, you know, if you look at how much we charge for our water and sewer and what we're getting out of it.
It's amazing.
I just want the council to understand, as an engineer, I would say we're doing a pretty good job. Now, we still got to deal with the fact that the public wants everything perfect, free, and now, because that's the way it is. But you got to translate that to, okay, if you want this fixed in the next year, it's going to cost a lot of money, and the only way to pay for it is to charge you more water sewer.
Well, yeah, most of the citizens are understanding.
Right.
And a lot of times, like you were talking about before, if they've got a small problem, you know, with their drainage or whatever, a lot of times it's as simple as taking a basin and dropping it down a little bit, you know, build it, you know, let them trench to it. And we do a lot of that. This isn't in here. We do that.
That's right.
Most of them aren't. We have a few that, I'm just kidding. But the reason I did this right here is to give you an idea so you can take it to your committee And you say, well, you know, these are the projects that, that they completed, that we're doing, and that we will do, you know, and give you some type of cost estimate. And so that they'll know, and council knows, that we are working on this, that we do work on this, and we'll continue to work on it.
Well, also, you know, the committee recognizes you as our expert, not me.
Well, that's their first problem.
We would love to. We still want you there at the March meeting, and John will tell you all about when that is and what time and everything.
Well, I'll be glad to meet with them in March, as long as you give me talking topics.
Exactly.
And this is what I'm talking before.
Exactly what we just did.
Last time that I went to a meeting, nobody showed up. And I put a presentation together. I mean, I even did the little computer thing, you know. And I was there by myself. So
they weren't my committee then, or they would have been there.
Okay.
Exactly what we've talked about today.
Right.
I'll even, you know, get Jane Doe over here to make copies of what you gave us, because that would be perfect for them to be able to see all the things you've done and all the things you'd like to do.
Well, as long as I can make them happy, that's a big thing.
Well, some of us think you're perfect. We just need to prove to some other people that you are.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't have to, I don't have to prove anything. I've already proved what I need to prove. So.
Like David said, when we talk about these other towns and the sewage spills and all in here, and the big water lines breaking every day.
Now he's jinxing us, see. So
yes.
That's why we're glad we live in Kira Beach.
No, God, I wish I hadn't had that.
Thank you, sir. We do for a break.
Yeah. Could I ask a favor while we're at the break? Can we go back to the fire department and maybe you already have this, but have an idea of what these three staff are going to cost us, and do you want all three of them next year?
Yes, we want them all next year.
Or one at a time, or exactly?
Can all three for next year.
I put that up here while
July
we have
1st.
A break.
let's just do a 10-minute break.
10 minutes?
Well.
I've never
seen that.
Don't bring
anything.
Cut it back.
Come on.
We don't have to.
Okay, with the PD, the first page is just a current status and give you an overview. I'm just going to hit some of these very quickly. We're continuing our partnership with Carolina Beach PD. We're currently still working on drug task force. It's been very successful. We've done some really good stuff with that. Also, still partnered with the county, across the sworn guys from the county. And we're going to change that around a little bit here in the next month or so. We're only allowed to be sworn in two places at the same time in North Carolina, so we're probably going to drop out a couple of guys off the county side and cross swear them with Carolina Beach. And Carolina Beach is going to cross swear a couple with us because our investigations are together on this island. And if my guy's gone, a Carolina Beach officer can come and do the job here as well as he can do it there.
I'll get that sworn out a lot.
We get sworn out all the time.
Dennis, do you know why they changed that rule? Because that seems pretty stupid of the state to do that.
It's been that way for a long time. You can only have two, you can only be dual sworn in two places. But it doesn't apply to federal.
So it's only for state mandated guys.
Our league of municipalities, risk management, or the project, the driver training project that those guys did last year has been introduced, and I was at the chief's conference this past week, and I don't know how many chiefs came up and had something to say positive about that. If you're not familiar, I'd probably get you a copy of the DVD and let you watch it, but teachers, Andy Everhart, and we go through all the things that happened back in 96.
Great.
It's a real super piece of work. Federal relationships, again, Secret Service, the Bureau, and ICE. We work with those guys pretty much on a regular basis. It's a super resource for us. The digital forensic certifications, I put those on there again. We are cutting edge on that. There's a couple things that I did not have. In addition to the computer side, we're also heavily qualified and certified in cell phone forensics, smartphone forensics. It's coming in pretty handy. We still have instructors on staff. We use those guys when we do some of our in-service training that's required. Additional certifications that I did not list on there, you guys bear in mind, the patrol guys have a whole host of certifications that they have to hold 24/7, NFOX, radar, DCI, which all requires continuous maintenance training, recertifications. I've got somebody in school somewhere just about every 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks. Somebody's always gone for a recert of one sort or another. Current staffing, we have 11 full-time guys. We have 4 part-time guys and 3 detectives, one of which is assigned to the federal task force, 11 uniformed patrol guys, and 1 administrative assistant. The average tenure for the officers in my department is 9.5 years, so it's a pretty seasoned department. Can't run them off. And as far as the detectives, just to kind of give you an update on that, we did some reorganization here about a month ago, and so now I have 2 guys assigned to doing nothing but investigative work, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But those 2 guys are Andy and Jamie King. Andy's primarily assigned to narcotics and property crimes. Jamie's primarily assigned to financial crimes, white collar. I'll give you the numbers on that in a second. The other reason for combining those 2 guys or putting the detectives in one place, it allows us some continuity to where they work, 4 days on, 3 days off, that type of thing. So there's a detective on duty 24/7. If he's not at the office, he's on call. So the drill guys always have a go-to detective to come in and take the case if it's bigger than what the drill guys can handle. So I think it's going to work real well and give us a lot more coverage and continuity so the cases don't get dropped for 4 or 5 days. And most of these financial cases and narcotics cases, you cannot afford to let them sit for 4 days. You just got to keep on going. Go to the second page of the handout under major challenges. I'll talk about each of these in just a second. On the investigative side, our main issue is prescription drug use and sales. It's so bad, guys, that we don't even really consider marijuana an issue anymore. It's prescription drugs. It's Oxycontin, hydrocodones, all the opiates, painkillers. It's a major issue. We've done some very major cases here recently. There's no end to it. It seems like as soon as you take one out, there's another one coming right in and replaces it.
May I ask a question?
No. And, yes.
Is this from people selling it here, or break-ins and they're stealing them, or people who are ODing?
It's mostly sales and use. Break-ins do occur because of it. Last big case we worked, the case began with a larceny of money, and then rolled all the way around over a 3-month time to taking down a major distributor from the central part of North Carolina, and we arrested here from Kira Beach. As far as overdoses, fortunately we've not had any fatalities this year. We've had some in the past, and they've been prescription meds, not anything else. Also under investigative, we're talking about internet and telephone fraud. That's got to be a major deal. I think everybody in here knows at least one victim, or almost a victim, of a substantial telephone scheme or internet scheme to obtain money. That's tied in with the financial crimes that I have listed below. That's the other major thing that's happening within Kira Beach. our financial crimes were probably doubled from last year. And it's everything from credit card fraud to check fraud, bank fraud. It's just a lot of it. Bad news is the financial crimes are extremely time intensive to investigate. There's a lot of subpoenas that have to be written. There are a lot of trips back and forth to a courthouse to have a judge sign one thing or another. They take a long time to work, and they're manpower intensive. It's probably at least every single one's probably a 40-hour case.
Is that on your radar just because of our population, more affluent, more older, or those two especially? Is that really where our targeted population sort of?
I don't think we're anybody different than any other municipality or any other city. It's just that, for lack of a better way of putting it, here we actively pursue it as hard as we can,
right,
to try to catch somebody. And I would probably guess that in a lot of places, the manpower is just not available to pursue them all. So the ones that are really big get the attention, and the smaller ones may not. We try to pursue them all if we can.
And how do they come to you? Citizens coming in, filing an issue, hey, this guy tried to rip me off?
The most common way is they walk in with a bank statement. They go, I don't know what this is, but it's not mine.
Okay. Wow. Their bank tells them to come to you instead of dealing with it through the bank?
Right. The way the banks are, the banks will not really even get in to talk to you about your issue unless you have filed a police report.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's the first step. The bank or credit card institution is going to require you to file a claim. They say, we got to have a police report to do that with.
Okay.
They come in, they make a report, and we get into it and try to figure out what happened.
Okay. Thanks.
Just to give you an idea of how that works, just briefly, a lot of times with these credit card financial crimes, we can track back to where a person might have used a fictitious account. It may be Target or Walmart or somewhere like that. We go there, we try to get video, just run all the normal routes. We do some other intelligence work where we can kind of sort of track them a little bit. And we've been pretty successful in closing out most of the cases. Some of them you just can't close. If it's a company in Nigeria and that scams you for $500, we're just out of luck, so are you, unless the bank helps you. But a lot of them we're able to take care of. On the other side of that, we have an officer assigned to doing nothing but pretty much intelligence work. So he tries to stay on top of what's trending, the people that are scamming. Fortunately, we're connected with some of the federal agencies, and we have access to a lot of intelligence that's already been gathered, or stuff that they're gathering, and then we're sharing what we're sharing. So it works out pretty good. On the patrol side, the challenge is our coverage of the beachfront. We're going to try to up our coverage on the sand a little bit more this year. Again, that's going to be driven by what the public expects, and also what some of the committees are trying to get us to do. It's strictly a manpower issue, and we'll do what we can. We don't know what the impact of the new park is going to be, and I guess we're going to talk about that this afternoon. I see that as being an issue. The quality of life issues are, again, kind of the main thing that patrol guys have to deal with. That's everything from littering to dogs on the beach to people sleeping on the beach, all those types of issues. This just requires a person on the ground looking at it. So those are the major challenges that we're facing right now, kind of where we're trying to focus everything for the upcoming year. As far as objectives, some of these are left over from last year. Again, the policy and procedure manual, still working on that. Again, we're trying to work closely with Carolina Beach to make our policies consistent because of the cross-sworn situation. But everything's moving. Things are changing. I just got back from the chief's conference, and it's constantly new things are happening and changing and require policy addendums and changes. We would love to look at CALEA certification. I think that's still possible before I retire, but it's going to require some global changes with policy manuals for the town as a whole to be able to fit into that. We'll see what happens. Website upgrade. We did finally get the new website up and running. I have an officer being trained to take over our piece of that, try to make it a little bit better. We are also considering using some social media. A lot of PDs now are working with Facebook, and that's a pretty cool thing. I'm not yet decided if we're going to do it or not, but thinking about it. We do use social media for investigative purposes, though, constantly. It's amazing how easy it is to find somebody on social media. Bad guys have Facebook accounts. It's amazing. The computer lab is in fully operational status. Last year, we were trying to get the place prepared, and we've since done that, and most all the equipment's been put in. We are functional this time, which is pretty cool. The wireless cameras, still waiting on that. I think our initial estimate was somewhere around $20,000-$25,000. I think it's probably going to be closer to $50,000. I met with two different vendors this past week at the Chiefs Conference, and probably have more information on that as we head toward budget time. But if we intend to do that, there's some legal issues that we need to talk about with the town attorney. Just to make sure everybody's on board with that. But I think it's a good idea. It's a force multiplier. If the patrol guy's able to sit in his car, say, at Alabama and see what's happening at K Avenue, it's a force multiplier. And that's kind of what I'm after. I'm leaning toward going with a pretty high-end system as opposed to a lower-end system. I think that over time it's worth the extra money. Public relations events, we try to do three major per year. We didn't do three last year, we only did one as far as a major. We did the Operation Medicine Drop. We underestimated that. I think I had two guys there, and by like 10 o'clock we had a line, and we had to call in a bunch of extra people to handle that. I can't remember now what the number of tabs were we took, pills. It was approaching 100,000 or maybe more. Just out of Curie Beach, had a ton of medicine. Well, we still got some left.
Kept the good stuff.
But it's we're going to do that again and see.
So you all running by there.
Yeah. It's been a long winter. There's a couple other things that we would like to do. Again, it's just trying to get timed out to where we can make it happen and do it well. Reserve officers, recruitment and retention. We're in the process now of hiring another part-time guy. Again, hopefully we'll be able to, like I said, put a little bit more manpower on the beach this summer. Just from a cost perspective, it's such an advantage for us to do that, use part-time guys where and when we can, because obviously there's no overhead with that. As far as the training objectives, again, state-mandated training. It's a huge amount. It's 24 hours per officer. We try to hit that every fall. I think we're going to try to get it done this spring so that we don't have that on us again this year. But it's just every guy, every police officer in North Carolina has to go through 24 hours of mandated training, part of which is classroom, part of which is on the range. So scheduling all that, timing all that, pretty hard to do. Additional training, I'm just going to hit a few things down through here. The first one, the PLI, trying to get that done at UNCW. That's a summer course, which is hard for me to let somebody go, but we're going to try to get at least Jamie in there this summer. The next one is a pretty big one, CIT, or Crisis Intervention Training. This past year, we trained two additional officers, Mike Bowden and Ryan Kennedy. In case you don't know it, Curie Beach gets a large amount of mentally ill people here.
Sure, we know.
We know.
That's what we're talking about.
Mentally ill people.
But I don't know if it's because of our location or exactly what the reason is, but it's we get more than we should. And
this is a lot.
And maybe.
No, we're going to talk about water later on.
We currently have four CIT guys on staff now. Proportionally, we're heavy in that compared to other agencies, but It's just needed. And those guys are trying to deal with this, and they've done well with it. Move on down just a little bit farther. Talks about additional narcotics investigation training. Andy and Jamie both are on a couple of listservs. I sent them down to, what's the name of the city? South of us.
Burbank?
No, South of us.
Myrtle Beach?
Yeah, not that. But anyway, they were in a narc school. Probably going to hit more of those this year, just for the networking and the listserv information has been valuable. Of course, our canine, Jason's still doing well. Advanced investigative skill sets for investigators. Jamie has been involved in quite a bit of that over the last year. He's going to be more involved again this year. Obviously, Paul has had some world-class training down in Hoover, Alabama with Super Service. It's been really nice. Let's see. We're going to put two additional officers in the pipeline for the digital forensics side. I've got two young kids, Ryan, which is Ed's brother. I got the better of the brother, by the way.
I am right here.
Offered Harold Hartridge, David Obster, Andy Everhart, and one gig for Ed, and he turned it in. So we're going to throw those guys in the pipeline because Paul and I both are, you know, we're going to age out at some point, so trying to get those guys up to speed and get them going. On the third page, the next page, the PD admin, legal and budgeting. For the first time, I'm turning over a lot more of the budgeting processes to subordinates so that they can learn how to do that and feel their way through forecasting and budgeting. So Andy and primarily Andy and Mike Bowden will have a big part in the budget process this coming year. Captain Ali, obviously my vehicle rotation schedule is the biggest one. And that's going to run between $30,000 and $60,000 a year, depending on the year. So it's going to change depending on the needs. Under the DFIB replacements in addition, this past year, we upgraded all of our defibrillators, and now there's a defib in every single car, and that money did not come from the general fund. Computer lab setup, remaining equipment, all that again is in place, and also that did not come from the general fund. Again, the wireless camera program, $35,000 to $50,000 initial outlay, and that's about where we're going to land with that, I'm pretty sure. Just depends on how extensive we make this system. And I think when we get ready to get into that more heavily, obviously, you know, I think we'll have a couple more people involved, maybe for sure Sonny with Logan and the public works area on the hill, and complete all that when we do this. I think just while we're doing it, let's get it done as much as we can. The ATVs for the beach patrol, that was in there. We've elected not to replace those. Ours are in great shape, general maintenance. I think if we get John to wash them when he uses them, we'll be fine. So those will probably last us another year or two for sure. additional weapons, we had forecasted around 6,000. We do have the AR-15s in hand. They did not cost us a dime. Cost us a trip to a Fed. Once the sale in the back, that's all. However, due to everything in the country being the way it is, we are right at the 8-9 month mark, still waiting on ammo. You cannot get to 23 ammo. So we're still waiting. Just starting to do the ammo for our pistols. It's about a 4 month turnaround, 4 to 5 months. So it's hard to find.
So you just carry the one bullet in your
pocket? We share it.
Turnover shift change.
The upgraded surveillance equipment, that'll be done this year. And again, that goes primarily for narcotics. And what we're doing with that is splitting things with Carolina Beach. In other words, we're not trying to duplicate devices and things we have. What they have is great, and what we have is great. So we're buying things that neither one of us have. And between the two of us, we have one. That's what we need. And that's working pretty good. This year, I hope to paint our office, put the carpet down. Probably around $6,000-$7,000. Just don't know for that yet. Training equipment, we had about $3,000 in there. Most of that's already been purchased with some ammunition. We upgraded our weight room. If you haven't been in there, it's first class.
I haven't been invited.
You're invited.
Okay.
I did offer that to the town hall employees, and if we're there during Tammy's time there, you're welcome to come over. But we have a super nice weight system and a top-end elliptical.
Still not council members, right?
No council members, no.
I see 12 ounce pearls anyway.
Not listed on here. I was going ahead and add to this. We also have upgraded our laptops and all our vehicles. Most of our computers were around 5 years old. They were old Dells. So we just replaced, or in the process of replacing all those. That was around $24,000. Again, did not come from the general fund. We upgraded our desktops. And
where's all this money coming from?
Can't tell you.
It's cooking drugs. So long in bills they took in last year.
Our server and our PD is about seven, almost 8 years old, and our desktops are a hodgepodge of this. I don't think we have two monitors that are the same, or two desktops that are the same, or anything. It's kind of a hodgepodge. So, just got a quote in to replace all of our desktops. We have an HP guy now that lives in Wilmington. Super easy to work with. And the process is super competitive. And if I'm buying anybody looking for laptops, that's, or desktops, that's where to go. So once we get that done, I think we'll be in pretty good shape. And see what happens the rest of the year. All my guys are safely sound, and we got through another year without getting hurt. And I don't think y'all received very many complaints, if any at all, on the keys. And we'll try to run another year.
Okay, I have a question. I'm a big fan of NCIS, okay? And are there computers and all, they can take somebody's fingerprint right there on the scene. Is that something coming, you know, in the future, or is that something available now where you can find out someone's identity immediately, or do we still have to send it off somewhere? I saw in the news this morning some town in North Carolina is sending theirs to South Carolina because it takes so long to get information in our state. Is that something coming down the pipe?
No. Just a real quick update, maybe in a more broader scope. One of the people that spoke at the Chiefs Conference was Greg McLeod, who's the director of the North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation. They are dying for funding. They're short on analysts. And when they do have analysts, when they get them trained, they almost always leave because their pay is around $25,000 less than what everybody else is paying. So there was some legislation that went through the House to up their budget, up their pay, kind of get them up to speed. I made it through the House. Got turned down in the Senate, so we're back to square one. Getting anything done with the Bureau, with the SBI, is super time intensive. It will take easily 3-4 months to get back anything, unless it's a seriously high profile, very critical case. You might be getting pushed to the top. But as far as what you're talking about, no. That's done in a totally different way in North Carolina. It may be great on TV, but it's not the way it is right now. You got to bear in mind everything from blood, from DFIs to narcotics, all that stuff has to go to the SBI. Also bear in mind, I think they have 8 analysts now to cover the state of North Carolina.
Wow.
In addition to doing the lab work, now it's required because of a Supreme Court ruling, if someone pleads not guilty, and evidence has been sent to the lab to be analyzed. You know, the lab says, okay, we analyzed it, it came back to be, let's say, heroin. And we have to go to court, Superior Court. Now, that analyst is subpoenaed to Superior Court. They have to personally testify. So now, you can see, they're never in the lab. They're always out testifying.
Right.
So it's just a huge backlog of cases. That's why we're doing our own additional stuff here. It's just a lot easier.
Anything else, Dennis?
Any questions, comments?
No? Okay. Thanks, Dennis. John?
Yes, sir. 2012 was a good year. Y'all know I'm the smallest department, and I wear a lot of hats. I'm responsible for building, planning, zoning, code enforcement, budgeting, beach nourishment, and fire inspections. A lot of different hats, a lot of different regulations I have to keep up with. This past year, we did have some new building regulations that came into effect. We've transitioned to those pretty flawlessly, and in this coming year, we have new flood maps coming out that I'm told will lessen flood restrictions on Cary Beach. I've been arguing that point for 5 years, and it sounds like they've finally done more research and they're actually going to change the flood maps around to where they're less restrictive on Cary Beach. In calendar year 2012, my department brought in $223,860. That included permit fees, sewer taps, water taps, stormwater fees, just about every fee that has anything to do with construction or code enforcement. So far this fiscal year, I believe I'm up by 38% of what I've projected in my budget. It looks like we're going to have a good year. Construction is up. In addition to that, this year, everyone knows we've got beach nourishment coming up in March. Supposed to be done in the month of March, starting March 1st, and should be wrapped up by March 31st. Cary Beach is receiving 432,000 cubic yards of sand at a cost of $4.6 million. As I understand, it's supposed to be done in 20 days, and it has to be done in March. I'm waiting on a construction meeting to get brought up to speed on whatever other changes might be coming into play. I'll have to get with Sunny here shortly to start removing the we'll have to remove the headers ramp at Davis Road and anything else that the contractor may need us to do in preparation. Normally after the construction meeting, I'm not involved a whole lot, but I still try to visit the site every single day and try to find out what's going on so I'll be able to answer any questions that do come up.
Is that later than normal? It feels like it is, but I'm not sure because
I was just looking over my records a little while ago and yesterday. It looks like last year was in April, or the last time was in April.
Okay,
so
this
is right on time.
Should have been better.
Okay. A lot of my job is working with the public. I probably get anywhere from 30 to 50 phone calls a day. I probably have anywhere from 10 to 20 people visiting me in the office every single day. I do a lot of visits to property owners' houses. Their lots. I deal with complaints ranging from my neighbor's grass is too high or his tree's leaning over my fence to the kid is playing basketball in the road at 8 o'clock in the morning and I can't sleep.
You sure that's not my guys out there, huh?
A lot of different complaints and it's trying at times to be diplomatic in dealing with them. Next big thing I've been dealing with over the last year and a half to 2 years is Oceanfront Park. We're nearing completion, as everyone knows. Woo. Finally.
When's the deadline now?
Well, we don't know when the deadline is.
Thanksgiving.
We've had a punch list that has been out for 3 weeks. We just did an inspection this past Monday, and it looks like the punch list might be a quarter of the way through in 3 weeks, which is it's beyond me how the planning and logistics have worked with this contractor. One of the big things on the punch list was just punching out the painting. And a lot of it involved more caulking, just a better paint job. And painters have not been on site in almost a month, and I don't know why. So little things like that come into play. Of course, we've run into different things that it appears that we need that there was no way to plan for since the beginning of the project. So we've had a lot of little unknowns that have come up and additional costs, things of that nature.
Change orders are normal stuff.
Also. It is change orders, normal stuff, and like I said, unknowns that it's hard to plan for.
And are they being charged daily?
Yes, ma'am. Right now, they are being charged liquidated damages. I don't know how many days they're actually into it. But
how much per day?
I think it's $150. All right, Nancy. It's not that much.
John, is that a number that is normal in the...
It was the same number that we had. I don't know where he came about it. It was the same number we had for the town hall addition, right. And we had it for the boardwalk between L and N Avenue.
That must be like a common contract number or something, and maybe something we need to look at in the future to jack it up a little bit.
How many days are they into that?
Since December the 7th. We never changed the date, so it's December the 7th.
I'm not sure.
I mean, there are some rain days and weather days.
It is going to be determined later how many we're going to give them and how many we're not,
So it'll come down to the end. We'll spend $5,000 on an attorney to collect two.
You're probably going to have to run.
Just checking.
That's just the way things have been going.
You've done these big plans.
Along with Oceanfront Park and about this, we've got a couple of new people coming in for Parks and Recreation, so they'll be taking special events off of me, which will be a huge help. I said earlier I got 30 to 50 phone calls a day, and probably probably 10 of those a week are had to do with weddings and people wanting to know what they could do as far as weddings on the beach. In anticipation for the park, I have already drafted a special use application and also some rules and regulations that would apply to the new town park. I've stressed to Nancy and also to the new Parks and Rec people, we've really got to get that. We've got to get it figured out, what we're going to charge, what we're going to allow, and how everything's going to work on Oceanfront Park. As of yesterday, we got our first request for a wedding rehearsal dinner.
They're already
in May, and we've got the chamber. Well, I'm sure Nancy will go over all this soon. Park's going to be used.
Yep.
It just depends on how much y'all want to let it be used. Let's see. Other than that, going back to building real quick, we had 24 new houses in Curie Beach in 2012. It's been a busy year. And I don't see it slowing up. It looks really good. As far as my goals for 2012, I had pretty much two goals. One was to improve customer service. Probably the complaint that y'all hear most about me is I've called John 3 times and I can't get up to him. That's very true. Sometimes I'm just have a really hard time returning phone calls. Here lately, I've made a bigger effort returning those. I believe that complaints have come down. I only know 2 over the last 6 months. Anyway, one of those things. Other than that, my other goal for 2012 was obtaining a zoning official certification. This is pretty much just a feather in the cap. I have not been able to obtain that. I have not been able to find a class that works with my schedule. It's pretty hard for me to leave town for a week, in my opinion, especially when the park was going on. And so I pushed that back as far as my goals into 2013.
I still have that at Chapel Hill.
Yes. Other than that, I'm ready to answer any questions that you may have.
In working with the state on the floodplain special certification, because I'm personally still interested in that, but when the new flood maps come out, could you maybe work with them to see whether or not it would even be worthwhile if we're going to, be less restrictive here, whether or not it would even be worth pursuing that anymore?
Well, yes, ma'am. I've already done some research into that, but I'm not prepared to talk about that this time. I've been told that the maps are less restrictive on Kiri Beach, but I'm not going to believe it until I see it.
So we're talking about the flood zones, is
flood
what we're
zones,
talking about.
Yes. Right? And primarily, we're talking about the Handy Beach area.
Right, and not the Cama setbacks or anything like that.
Cama setbacks, we've got new maps coming out for that also, but the lines are not changing.
Right, okay.
And, contrary to what you may have heard.
So what is the biggest change with the flood map change? Is that just the requirement for flood insurance for loans, or?
They're updating the maps.
I mean, is that really the change that the citizens will see? Is there any other changes?
You're going to have to. If it comes about as I say it will, we'll have people that are out of the flood zone who previously have been in it for the last 6 years.
Okay. So before they weren't, they got put into it on the last change, and now we're just getting them back out?
And areas have never flooded. They're a quarter of a mile from the beach. It doesn't make no sense whatsoever.
Okay,
good. John, what is the punch list? What have you got for the oceanfront park?
I can go over that punch list if you'd like to, sir. It's a four-page document.
That's the one you sent us out to us?
There has been an updated one I have not sent to you. There's not a whole lot of change on it.
Have you talked to the contractor to find out what the problem with the painter is? Or is he, I know he had talked to him and called him back.
But. Well, it's not really my place to question the contractor on why he can't get his subs there. My place is to question why the project isn't completed yet.
Well, it's one of the same. But, I noticed the roof has got a couple sections that haven't been crimped. Is that on the
list? Yes, sir. Those have been noted and will be taken care of.
Well, what's done is looking good. Right. So
I've heard nothing but compliments.
Right.
Like I said, we had somebody come in yesterday already ready to do a wedding rehearsal there. She said, this is the most beautiful building on the island. Which I'm pretty much in agreement. I think we've got a gym.
And, it is pretty.
And I think, Emily, your point was really good that, I don't know if you've seen it yet, Sonny, about even if we can't get the contractor to do it, taking out the paper towels and putting an air dryer in there so you don't have to unplug toilets all the time. So we do that at Corny. It's saved us a lot of money. And I think it was a good thing. I wish we just saw it at the beginning, but I think we're going to want to do that as soon as possible.
Well, just wait a couple of months and they'll tear that off.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'd rather do it proactively, but
stuff all the paper towels down. There also is no electricity on
the
wall.
Let them run stuff.
Need to figure out how.
I didn't look at the panel, but at Corning, they're 20 amps for each one, and they're independent circuits. So we have to see if the box will support it. I don't know. It could be more expensive than we think, but I think it is the right idea for us.
I think it would be worth it in the long run because Sonny can't be running over there all day long filling up the paper towel.
Right. And that's true. There's going to have to be we're going to have to be there four, five, six times a day anyway. But it's going to be better if we can cut down any of the problems.
Good job.
I would like to
very
make
nice
one remark about this guy. I worked for the city of Wilmington for 7 years and as part of the code enforcement division. And let me tell you, when you're in this area, if you are not getting complaints from the general public, whether it's about things going on in their neighborhood or things you're not doing quick enough, or you're not doing your job. I mean, it comes with the job, and if you're not getting any complaints, then there's something wrong. So they're being addressed as timely as possible.
I hope that Kiri Beach doesn't set Wilmington as an example of how to run things.
No. We never have.
Code enforcement was an excellent division when I was there. If there was a problem, it was with the council.
Cool. Did you?
John, that's it. That's all you got?
I apologize to the committee for running just a little bit behind time, but after I get through this pretty quickly. Administration and finance goals that we've accomplished since July 1st.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you for $3 too, but
Go ahead, Nancy.
Of this fiscal year, we began accepting debit and credit card transactions in August. We're processing about 15 transactions a month. Water bills, people are buying their decals. We just started a license fundraiser. People can use a debit credit card either through the website or come into town hall and use that. Well, this is something we were looking at as a convenience for customers. I was taking a copy of your gift or in the brochure.
When did you start this? July 1?
August.
August, and we only have 15 transitions on the credit cards
a month. But that keeps going up as people.
I was just going to say, maybe we need there's something wrong with it. You know, we need to get it more out there to the public, because I would think that they would love to do that instead of.
We have a lot of people doing the water bills.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Using the debit credit card.
Oh, okay. Oh, so.
I expect it to grow as people get more familiar with it and the services there. We pay a minimum fee to the bank, but we pass on the actual fee for using the card. Gabby?
Nancy, what is the fee you charge a customer?
It's the percentage. What is it, Arlen?
It's a little less than 3%.
Yeah. Depends on the amount of the charge.
And it's actually set by a third party. We never see any of that. It goes right to a third party.
Right.
So they set the fee.
Website, we did completely redesign the website. We now have the latest technology. It's called a content management system. All the departments have access to go in and update and create pages and put information on there. They've all been trained. Nancy Hewitt and I are the main monitors of the website. Police department and us also have the ability, if we have an emergency situation, we need to get an alert out. It is triggered. We go in and put our information, we check a box, and it immediately does an email draft, mass distribution. We try to make it very comprehensive to get as much information out there as we can. And we have more that we've had to do when we start getting the oceanfront park rentals. Information and have that out there. Yes, sir, in the future.
So what you're saying is, does it have to be under, well, say if I'm going to be shutting down having to shut down a water area, a water system down in a certain area, I can give you a call and you can get it on. Okay.
Yes, so we can send it out immediately.
Right. And you can send it up to your email or to your iPhone people could get a text to their iPhone.
Right.
We have, town news section that goes out every day at noon. If we have put information on it, it's an automatic. And we started out with different calendars for Parks and Rec and community center and government meetings and stuff, and we got some complaints because they were going out individual days, so we consolidated all of that. Every Monday at 11, everything that's on any of the calendars and town news goes out in one email to everybody and doesn't go out again until the next week, and it shows everything for that week. But the town news, we also have the ability, if you know, at 11, we can send it out. If we get it on there by noon, it's automatically set to generate a mass email. Recreation coordinator. I had budgeted for a part-time recreation coordinator. We'll be taking rentals from the community center, taking that book, looking at the oceanfront park. We'll be taking special events from John, as he mentioned. Looking at additional programmings, we have some grant obligations for the park to run some educational programs. So I've hired a part-time person, Bob Fitzsimons, as the main recreation coordinator. I had enough money left in my budget because of the delay with the park. At least for June 30th, I've hired a part-time person, Nikki Keeley. They will both be here about 3:30 today. I wanted them to come and sit through the discussions on the oceanfront park. So we can kind of get some directions about what council will allow us to do down there and not, so we can get policies and procedures and rates set. We are getting calls already. Chamber is very anxious to get in there with the programming. We are going to be coordinating a luncheon, hopefully the end of February, with all the other counties, parks and rec, the town, all the state local agencies and the chamber to come down and have lunch and walk around the park and try to talk about the kinds of things that we can do. The goal is obviously to have other agencies come in and give a free program, so So it doesn't cost us any money, but helps us meet our obligations to have maybe some outdoor classrooms with the schools, that type of thing.
Nancy?
Yes, ma'am.
Do either one of those staff have experience in grant writing?
I think Nikki has done some. Nikki has a degree in Parks and Rec. She actually has a master's from ECU. She's done some teaching at ECU. I think she has done some grant writing. I don't know. I think Bob may have too, because he was recreation coordinator in California.
Okay, there's a grant writing seminar going on locally next month that I was telling our recreation people about, and I'll see if I can get you the information if any of
it's a $425 charge.
No, this is a $10 charge.
Oh, that's a different one. I've seen the $425.
That one's at NC State. This one is local. It's $10, and it's an excellent individual that's putting it on. You said you had enough money to do the part-time person because of our delay. How much are you asking for next year?
I don't know yet. I went with the second person. I personally believe that this part's going to take off, and one person working 3.5 hours a day is not going to be able to handle everything. Mm-hmm. That's my personal opinion. We're going to have to look at if we have private events down there, who's going to be down there. Somebody's going to need to be on site. I easily see this going into a full-time position or at least keeping two part-time people. So I will, that's part of what my thought process with all this fundraising that I've been bringing to council, trying to look at money to generate floor salary and activities at the park. So I will probably discuss that with you at budget that, depending upon between now and June, will be kind of a test market to see how busy they are. But I'm with John. I think people are anxious. Now that it's done and they see it, they love it, and everybody wants to be there, at least for a while. We'll be the new restaurant in town for a while. Bob will work in the mornings, 9:30 to 1, and Nikki will come in at 12:30 to overlap and be there in the office until 4. So that's kind of their schedule for right now. And we'll be going to the Parks and Rec meeting, and we have a meeting set up with Community Center to start going over, taking their rental bookings calendar from them.
So let me ask you, what is the Community Center Committee going to do now if this is turned over?
What they normally do, any programs that they want to run, they'll just have to come and book through us because we will have the calendar and schedule all the bookings and the rentals over there. They'll continue to make recommendations to maintain the center. The main thing that they are giving to us is the book itself. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the largest calendar. Part of their
only a part.
It's just a part. Okay.
Yeah. And these are things we'll have to work out as we go along. But I think maybe they have other things they're doing, like a landscaping seminar now. They may want to get into more of those types of things.
Right, we need it. We need more than that.
Yeah. Stormwater. I think they're both like stormwater. Big chunk of time. I say this is an accomplishment because it's taken up a big chunk of our time keeping up with all the courses and the pay applications and the grant reimbursements. We're up to date. We're almost done. Part of we have all our reimbursements in the part of our HUD money has come in. CAMO, we're still waiting on. We have reimbursements into them. And then clean water management, we have some delays, and that's because the engineer is managing that, and we have some issues about pervious pavers. But that's been a huge job. It's taken up a huge amount of John's time, and it's taken up a huge amount of Arlen and myself's time with everything that's going on with the park.
So y'all were looking good, right? With all the, you know, well, the state agencies and federal money that was coming in.
Yes, our only concern right now is with the Clean Water Management Trust Fund, and part of that is because it's dragged out so long.
Right.
We've had so many extensions on this grant, and they're losing money, and they're looking maybe to take some money back from us if they can. So we're fighting that tooth and nail. It was our understanding the pervious pavers was part of the whole stormwater infiltration system down there, and that's what Brian Cox Engineering Services is kind of working with Clean Water Management Trust Fund. And Arlen will report that this afternoon what the financial impact will be if they decide not to cover the pavers.
Well, I know that, that's got to be, that's the biggest nightmare in the world, trying to work through all that.
And it's been time consuming.
Right.
And with Clean Water Management Trust Fund and Partif, we've had a middle party with engineering services. They were contracted to manage the grant reimbursements, but we still have to get it all together.
I've been through that.
And wait for them. Right. We've purchased and installed 5 new computers. Well, 4. I've got one that's going in next week. This has been the year of computer and technology for us. Like Dennis was saying, most of our computers were from 2006, 2007. In all of this, and working with, looking at computers, our server, I realized, was also in that age range. Plus, we're out of capacity. We're having trouble with some employees, the mayor and John's assistant, a lot of times can't get on. We don't have enough IP addresses. So we've upgraded the server. That's supposed to be installed tomorrow, and maximizing our capability for people to be on at the same time. We have purchased Versa Image software. We'll wait for the server to be upgraded before we can install this. This is a software that will take all of our PDF documents. We scan everything in into a PDF document, all of our minutes, all of our resolutions, all of our contracts, to try to keep everything paper and electronic. This will search all of our documents, so when we get a request, what the council do about whatever, we can put in one word in it. It will create a database of all PDF documents and search everything at one time.
Will you be able to do that through the website as well, so the citizens will be able to do that?
No.
No? Okay, so you still have to come request to council, I mean to town hall?
Yes. Yeah. This will also give us the ability, right now our minutes from 1947 to 1968 are hard copy only. A lot of them are on onion skin. Mm-hmm. We could not scan them in. This company is going to retrieve those from state archives, microfiche, and convert them and include them in this database. So we will have full searchable. We are high tech.
So when a citizen comes with a request, I know we have a charge out rate for by the page for you guys if you have to do something.
Correct.
But if they ask for it electronically, do we have somebody to charge for your time? Or have we set up a fee structure for you guys for that?
We have not, since we've gotten into more of the electronics that we have them on the website.
Right.
It's been mainly we have to print, we're allowed to charge what paper and all that, and that's, we've always kept it at 10 cents a copy.
How many requests are you getting?
Not that many.
I mean, if someone wants it electronically, do they bring their USB, or do you guys print it out on a disk, or how do we give it to them if they ask for it electronically right now, or no one's asking?
I don't think anybody has email.
Depending on the size, we can email.
Okay.
The newspaper's on when it comes down there. Isn't it?
Well, he comes against the minutes, but the audio is now on the website, too, yeah. So he doesn't have to do that anymore. That's the other thing, when we did the website, all the audios for the meetings are out there.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Well, clean it up, huh?
So is that even an issue for you guys? I mean, if you're not getting any requests, I don't think we should spend time, but if you're getting a lot of them, we should have a fee structure for you guys.
I don't think we're allowed to, actually.
There is.
Yeah, but it's kind
we
of...
We just haven't adopted
it. Right. Well, if somebody came in, you for your time to compile it. You can, if they're asking for it in a different kind of format that you have it in, or to manipulate that data, you can charge to do that, or decide that you don't have staff to do that.
Ask Willard, he'll tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nancy, aren't there state laws that don't allow us to charge for a lot of that?
Yeah, it's pretty restricted. That's what we can charge.
Okay.
And it's mainly, if they're asking for a really huge amount, I say this is going to take me 2 or 3 weeks, months. I'll get to it as fast as I can. It comes in cycles.
Right.
We had a lot when we first started the park, but we'll have a lot with Beach Walk every, I don't know, 9 or 10 months. They come in wanting all the information again to prove that that stormwater pond is there.
Every time they change the head of the HOA.
Yeah, we go through it. Again, but the standard right now is if we're printing it and making copies, it's 10 cents a copy. As Sunny said, we have just started recently taking on the bulk trash billing. Robin was doing that manually, sending out invoices and everything. We are trialing this. Our goal was to get everything financial into the financial software that we have, so it's real-time updating. We know what's out there, we know what we haven't seen, And when the people come in and pay it, and we post that payment, it updates everything. There will be some delays because water bills don't go out every week. So we're going to have to see how that happens. As Sunny says, you know, people complain right away, but it's a month before they get the water bill.
Well, we're just going to lose some stuff. I mean, you know, basically, you know, where we bill out every week, y'all going to bill out monthly, and some of this is going to be lost in the, you know, my guys remember what they picked up last week, but they're not going to remember what they picked up 30 days.
Well, Robin's been really good. We've done one, two, I think, so far, and she's given us detail, and we have the capability to put it on the water bill that this was a fourth of the
time, right,
or this was a refrigerator.
That's exactly right.
Or this was whatever.
And we've talked to them about trying to get a better description, making sure, you know, trying to tie that down a little bit better, a little neater package.
This was in the middle of the lot, not at the corner, and it's not your neighbors.
Yeah. Right. The bills that are going out, I guess, today, tomorrow, it'll be the first time it has it on the actual water bills.
How many water bills do you send out every month?
1,800.
1,800? What does that cost us?
About 450.
$450 a month? Plus, does that include the labor, or does that just include
the postage?
That's just postage.
I mean, I've set up two towns already on 14 cent plus postage to do your bill, their billing form.
To do the billing for them?
What they do is they just put it in the billing format and email it to them, and then they print it and stuff it in the envelope, and they'll put two flyers in there for you for that price. I think we could probably save some money and time if we look at that.
You got some information?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Denise,
you'd
be Denise's favorite.
Yeah. and they put it in sealed envelopes, and they have return envelopes in them. They put the town's logo on it.
See, right now, I've got the postcard, and we're all with the post office. It seems like no matter which way we do it, something we didn't do right.
Right. I'll give it to them.
But we may have to look at doing something besides the postcard too.
Okay, that's good.
Here.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
On the car registrations, I noticed again this year they have to go through the book to write it all down. Are we ever going to have that completely electronic?
They're supposed to be using a spreadsheet we set up a spreadsheet on the computer. They may do it just because it's easier at that time. But we converted that. We used to have everything in
existing software. Nothing.
Paper, and we write it all down, but we converted that to an Excel spreadsheet.
Well, I think they looked up my name on the computer, but then they took all the information.
If people come in and they don't have the registration, and we're supposed to get the registration, they'll say, well, it's the same one from last year, and then a lot of times they ask us to look that up, which is one reason we went and put it on the computer so it would be easier to search instead of trying to get through all these papers. But I don't know why that particular day.
Eventually,
but they still have to type it into the computer.
Take the book away for a moment. Okay.
Weed them. We caught up on all of our council minutes when I started in June 2010. We were kind of behind. We make sure that all of our council minutes are in the state archives on microfiche, just as an extra whatever. So Nancy Hewitt spent a lot of time getting all of that caught up, and now it's an ongoing thing that we do. We've added additional file cabinets. I've kind of turned the annex into a file room. Some out of space. We have a lot of documents we have to keep permanently, permanent records. Upstairs is not heat and air controlled at all, so a lot of documents that have been up there for years just fall apart in your hands. So I'm looking for space downstairs that's climate controlled, where I can keep what we have to keep. We have to keep audit for at least 3 years after audit, all the financial hard copies. Anything that we can file electronically, we do, but some of our permanent records, technology is changing so fast, I'm afraid to submit everything to flash drive or some CD used to be the thing, and now CDs are almost becoming obsolete.
And so for that space issue, I know, I don't know what the rules are for governments, right, but at Concord we use Iron Mountain, and after the 5 years that we keep for audit records on site, we send everything else to, I think it's Durham or somewhere, and they just store it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, versus you filling up the entire town hall with filing cabinets, is that something we would consider, or are we not allowed to do that because of government issues?
No, we can. I mean, it's just an additional expense.
Right.
And then you have to retrieve it. It's, you know,
Yeah, so that's the question, how can you get a request yet?
Right.
Okay.
Iron Mountain does that. They're our shredding company, but I'm not sure.
Remote storage.
Yeah. We, I mean, we've got a lot in our, you know, the waterproof, fireproof vault where we keep all of our minutes and ordinances and those kinds of things, the permanent records. This is in the hall right now. It's more of the financial and audit thing that we can eventually get rid of. So it's not good, but that's going to expand.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, we. Quite a few file cabinets. And we brought an inventory of documents. We have something that Nancy keeps and has brought current. Everything that we have, what it is and where it is, and something that can be reviewed. But most of it's our permanent records. To make it easier, we can go to this list and know which file cabinet it's in and whether we even have it or not when we're getting public records requests. I did write a NOAA marine debris grant to procure additional $50,000 funding to remove the Dow chemical intake. We have a grant right now from Division of Water Resources. It's good until April of 2014, but it's a matching grant. And the cost of the project to remove it back in 2011 was $100,000. I'm sure that's gone up. I don't know that we will get this. It was kind of iffy. They look more at removing fishing nets and old lobster pots and that kind of thing.
Which Nancy threw out there.
Yeah. Well, the hard thing was I had to prove that it was detrimental to the marine environment, not to humans, but to the marine environment. Well, it's been out there since 1940, so if there's going to be any damage, it's probably killed whatever it was going to kill. But I took a shot, so we'll see. If not, council will have to decide what you're going to do then when we start budget talks, if you're going to complete the project and take it out of general fund or if you're going to lose that.
What was the process that they were going to do to remove that?
Well, they were either going to pound it down or remove it completely. If we get this NOAA grant, they require that it be removed completely. No pounding down. Division of Water Resources didn't matter to them one way or the other. But there's a lot of stuff out there and doing the research for them. There's tons of concrete and sheet metal. And, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so whoever you had the quote from was $100,000 to pound it down or to remove it?
To remove it, and I think they put it back to maybe 50 or 60 to pound it down.
Yeah. There we go, up there in a little long time and get every bit to get.
So. That they can pull out.
They can't pull it up.
Yeah, I don't think so. Unless they jet way down around it.
That's right. Deep.
That's a big block of concrete, buddy.
Yes, it is.
Ask them boys what it took to get that.